Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host. And we are the Creative Alchemist, and we come to you every single Thursday live. And we talk about business. We give you inspirational stories on addressing the new year in the face of COVID and your health. Legal advice. We have had some of the most profound and thought-provoking guests on our show, and today is going to be kind of special because instead of having one guest, we have a threefort. So if you would like to join us for this session, we have a phone number you can call in. It's 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And today is going to be kind of special because we're going to bring together sort of coaching and from a professional MBA and writing books and illustrators. So I think you're going to be amazed by how these three people have come together to make something happen. But as always, you know I never take this journey alone. I must introduce my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're here.
So hi, this is Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design, and I'm also super excited. It's so unique to have three guests, and we're so blessed to have these three guests tonight. So I'm going to let Stacy take the lead. Stacy, tell us a little bit about you, your publishing company, and how you came to be part of this not-for-profit / book / life.
Okay. Well, Lori and Ted, thank you so much for inviting us on here. I'm so excited to be here and super happy to answer any questions that callers have. Just tell you about our journey. So Brett and I joined forces to bring this book series On the Right Path, which is named after his nonprofit, On the Right Path. It's sort of been Brett's vision, and we were able to connect through his nephew, David Jennings, who's actually a producer out in Hollywood who I've been working with to help bring my own book series, hopefully, to screen. So David connected Brett and me so that we could kind of join heads and bring all of his ideas to life on paper, because I am the author of two book series. They're young adult fiction. One is called Gripped, and the other is Montgomery Lake High. And then I'm also the owner of a publishing company, Briley & Baxter Publications. So between my writing background and then my publishing background, it's been a great fit to work with Brett and write these stories together. And then we teamed up with Maddie Moore, who's an amazingly talented illustrator, and that is sort of how the three of us came together to make this all happen.
That's awesome. And Maddie, tell us a little bit about yourself, because you have an interesting history too.
Yeah, well, first of all, again, thank you for having me on. So I'm a recent graduate from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and drawing is something I've always loved, always been really interested in. It's something I've been doing ever since I could, you know, hold a pencil, and I've been building this career sort of on the sidelines of my academics, and then, of course, with this pandemic, and then graduating college, and not the way I think any graduate imagines. I suddenly started looking at illustration as, you know, a full-time job. You know, I can work from the safety of my own home and with this, as I've found, great creative team. So I started looking up, and Stacy and I got in contact, and it was just such a great fit right away. You know, we got talking, and the communication was seamless. And not only that, but I come from a family of coaches. My dad was the national coach of the Singapore soccer team. And my mom is the coach of the softball team at UPenn. So, you know, between the illustration and the coaching, it was just a beautiful fit.
That's amazing. And then, Brett, I guess we'll hear about all your accolades and where you're from and how you kind of, you know, came to this agreement, arrangement, and vision to change the world.
Well, again, great to be here. It's awesome to share and just have everybody here together and talking about kind of what they're passionate about. And for me, my passion pretty much from the womb was the game of basketball. And I was fortunate to be drawn to the coaching side at a young age. Obviously, I grew up playing the game, but I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to kind of fall under the wing of a coach by the name of Rolly Massimino, who was a legendary coach at Villanova University. He took me under his wing at a young age and gave me just an unbelievable opportunity to learn and grow under him. That journey just reached year 26. I just finished my 26th year in coaching, and my dream early on was to get, you know, to coach in the NBA and to start a nonprofit where in the off season I could just give back and pour back into, you know, younger kids, because the game has just provided me so many amazing things, taking me all over the world, met amazing people, players. So I about a year ago, I created a nonprofit called On the Right Path. And it really was, as I was saying, the culmination of 26 years of seeing the journeys of so many players that have made it, players that have not made it, players that have won the MVP of the NBA, become all-stars, won championships. And when I looked at the journeys, it just struck me, just in one sense, how simple the process is of you know, getting there. Now, getting there doesn't necessarily mean getting to the NBA. Getting there means reaching your maximum potential. And when I say it was simple in that, it was a lot of just simple life skills combined with basketball skills. And those were the players that seemed to not only make it, but be able to stay and play at a high level. So my passion then led to, I was sitting on the couch with my 3-year-old son reading a dinosaur book to him. And as I shut the book, it was an unbelievable book that literally taught a 3-year-old just how to be a better friend when he was at the playground. And God had just put in my spirit, like do something like this within the game of basketball. And that's where I thought about, like, wow, you know, this nonprofit is geared towards, you know, helping kids in that kind of 10 or 8 to kind of 15-year-old range. And I said, you know what? God put in my spirit, write a book series for 3 to 5-year-olds. And it was that simple. And as Stacy mentioned, my nephew, again, God works in crazy ways. My nephew had told me about Stacy a couple of years ago, and we never had kind of crossed paths. And literally the weekend that I was reading this book to my son, my nephew had called me that same day. And I was just like, Dave, don't you have a friend that writes, youth or children's books? And one thing led to the next. And I said, hey, you think I could just pitch this idea to her? And next thing you know, here we are today on an amazing show talking about a book series that we're creating. Only God could orchestrate all that kind of stuff.
Oh, without a doubt. That is the truth. Very, very cool. So one of the interesting things is you know, we discussed how God works in mysterious ways, was when I was talking to Stacy, or when Stacy and I were talking together, Stacy used to be an interior designer, right? And I used to be a therapist. So now, and I used to work for all nonprofits. So now we're kind of on the reverse.
Right.
So, you know, we both really understand that it's very true. So your not-for-profit is super interesting, right? And it's working with kids and it's basketball. I can't even imagine how you go from playing basketball to being a coach, right? You're like on the sidelines, you're watching, you're like making sure everybody does their moves. You're, you know, competing against other teams. How does that process work for you?
You know, I think what's interesting is most people that, you know, are passionate about a sport, whether it's basketball or football or baseball or soccer, you know, it's, it's something that just brings an ultimate joy and excitement, whether you're playing it, watching it. And I think for me, you know, it was a lot of it was just tied into growing up with the spiritual background that I had. And you know, when you think about the Bible or when you think about Jesus and they talk about, you know, being a servant and to think about, you know, that you can kind of carry on these biblical principles and do it within your passion. You know, for me, it's basketball. For me, it's coaching. But it's really the job of a coach is really you spend your career helping other people get better. You know, and I think for me, I just don't think there's a better way to spend your life. Meaning within the passion that you have, and then you use that passion to help other people get better at what they're passionate about. And you know, the interesting thing about a player is that journey comes to an end. You know, for some people, rather quickly. For the people that are fortunate to play it a long time, that still only kind of brings them maybe into their 30s. The great thing about coaching is you can do it for your whole life, and the number of people that you can impact is limitless. So I think that's the great thing about coaching, and that's the thing that we talk to our players about so much is just understanding how precious this time is for them, because before you know it, their career's over and they're sitting there saying, like, what happened? How did I get here? So like, I'm just figuring out now what to do and my career is over, you know? So from a coaching standpoint, we say to them a lot, look, we're going to be able to do this for our whole life. You have a small window to you know, to reach your maximum. And that's kind of the goal of the nonprofit, number one, but the book series as well, is just try to get these simple life skills kind of deeply rooted into these kids as young as you can, because there's a lot of professions that you can kind of dive into later in your life. I mean, at my age right now, I could go to law school right now and 3 years from now be a lawyer. You know, I could go and get my master's degree. But to say at the age of 40, I want to go back to high school and be a great player and go to college and go to the NBA, you can't do it. So you've got to kind of figure it out a lot quicker than a lot of these other professions.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey Brett, I'm listening to your story, and I just first I wanted to know where are you from originally.
I grew up outside of Philadelphia, actually very very close to the Villanova campus, which is obviously out in the suburbs of Philadelphia. My family was deeply rooted in Villanova University, going back to my great uncle was an Augustinian priest in Villanova. My mom ran the travel agency. My uncle taught business law. My dad went to Villanova. So I kind of grew up on the campus, and that's how I was able to cross paths with Rolly Massimino, and that led to crossing paths with Jay Wright, who's still the coach at Villanova now. But, yeah, I basically grew up on Villanova's campus as a kid.
Interesting. And so, you know, being at Villanova and just, you know, outside of Philadelphia, you've seen a lot of good players, and you've seen some people who made it and went all the way to the pros, and people who may have been better than the people who made it and just didn't make it. I'm making an assumption with that, and I'm wondering how much of that, seeing, you know, players who were good and made it and players who were also good and just didn't make it, and then what happens to players' afterlife. So how much of is that, was that a factor in your book that you've written?
For sure. And I think, you know, that's where the kind of compassion comes in from the coaching standpoint, to say, you know, think about for each one of you guys, right? There's a lot of things that we don't learn until we get older, right? And we're in our 30s, right, or 40s, or 50s, and we learn things, and you realize, like, wait a second, how are we going to expect a 20-year-old kid to understand what it means to be accountable, right? What it means to be coachable, what it means to be unselfish. Like, okay, you hear those terms when you're younger, but do you really understand what they mean? And again, for most people, if you're, it's okay to figure those out later on in life. The problem is within sports, you know, you say that there's talented people that don't make it. Well, one of the reasons talented people don't make it is they're not coachable, right? So maybe you have a kid who's got great talent, he's got great skill, but along his journey, he doesn't allow coaches to teach him and to bring the best out in him. So instead of continuing to get better, maybe he goes down a different path. It's for those exact reasons that I want to just with these books. It's just like I said. I literally was sitting with my son, and I'm like, I closed the dinosaur book. I'm like, this is as simple as you can get, and yet my 3-year-old can close the book and understand what it means to be a friend. He understood what it meant to be a friend just a little bit better just by reading that book. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here saying, if I can use basketball to teach a kid what it means to be coachable, meaning when you go to school, when your teacher tells you to do something, just do it. So just simple concepts. We really want to just keep it very basic. And I just believe at the earliest that kids can hear these simple concepts, you were going to give them their best chance to be successful.
And I saw one of your life skills is resilience. And I think that's important, you know, especially in sports and in life. So I ran football. I played track. I ran track and played football. And, you know, you lose or you are one of the best, and you end up competing with someone who's slightly better than you, right? So what's your resilience like, you know, for the team? You know, when you were so sure you were going to win, you get an upset, you know, those kinds of things. And then how does that carry over into the rest of your life? Because there are, and people may not know this, and I would say what you're doing would be very helpful, but there are companies that recruit college athletes because they recruit them because they say, well, they understand how to play as a team, they understand hierarchy, they understand how to be coachable, all these things that are important that support the organization's success. So it sounds like you're giving people, these young guys, a head start before they even get to college. And is there an age group you work with?
Well, I think, again, the nonprofit is geared in that kind of 8 to 15-year-old range, because I just believe you got to get to them that early, that when things start, when they start to be a junior in high school, that they've got to have these core foundational principles if they're going to make it. You know, one of the, it's interesting, when I coached with Jay Wright for 14 years and we talked one time, he was just talking about, you know, parenting, and he's got three amazing kids, and he was saying to me at the time, he's like, Brett, he's like, look, man, we get 16 to 18 years with our kids, and all you can hope for is that in that window you're able to develop in them a foundation that when they get on their own,
right,
they're going
right
to be okay. You know, and I look at it in my own situation. I transferred from Villanova. I went to Villanova as a freshman and sophomore, and after my sophomore year, the head coach, Rolly Massimino, took over at UNLV, which is the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So here it is. I'm calling my mom and dad saying, hey, I'm transferring to UNLV with Coach Massimino, and I didn't realize this so long after, but my parents almost fainted in that. It's like you know, their son's moving to Las Vegas as a 20-year-old. But here it is, you know, I handle myself, obviously I made mistakes, but I handle myself in a good way because I was raised in a way that was like, hey, when you get on your own, you're going to be able to know how to handle yourself. So I think that's why I'm geared to that kind of 8 to 15 range with the nonprofit. And with these children's books, it's even younger, you know, 3 to 5 and then 6 to 8 in that. Just hearing simple concepts, you know, the concept of love, you know, the concept of being unselfish. You know, I mean, obviously I'm sure you all have kids. Just something as simple as, like, I say to my kids, like, hey, when you share, you get more, and when you don't share, you get less. You know, it's a simple concept, but, you know, I don't think there's too early of an age to just start to introduce these life skills to your kids.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, it's interesting because, Stacy, you are also very much involved in young working with teenagers in high school. So it seems like the two of you have a great match. I mean, Brett, you're a coach at a college and then went on to the NBA, except you still have this commitment to younger people so that they can grow up and understand these. And Stacy, you are right there in supporting and developing teenagers to go off to college. So, I mean, this sounds like the stars lined up for the two of you to come together.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like you have similar experiences, even though they're very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely share a heart for mentoring and a heart for the youth, and because even so with my college counseling company that I own, South Shore College Consulting and Tutoring, which, you know, it's in Massachusetts where I live, but we also do a lot virtually just across the country. And, you know, my goal is really to help kids figure out what their passions are, where their talents lie, help them figure out their major, figure out what colleges they want to apply to, craft the perfect essay that really shows their personality. I love helping, you know, get them set up with internships, things like that, really just to kind of coach them along the way to figuring out their gifts and talents and then bringing it out and showing them their potential. So it's coming from an academic standpoint, you know, where Brett's coming from an athletic standpoint, but I think we share that common goal of just wanting to help others pursue their passions and pursue them well, you know. So it's amazing that we were able to connect like this and hopefully sow some seeds into kids when they're very young that will encourage them throughout their years.
Well, you have a very interesting background as well, because you had already published a number of books and then decided to have your own publishing company. I mean, that's, most people publish books and they continue to publish. I mean, that's quite a leap to go from an author to a publisher. So what was your motivation for that?
Well, you know, to be honest, I was, you know, really blessed to have I had a great publisher. I published my first 6 books with them. But when I started working on the Grip book series, I ended up starting it thinking it was just going to be one book, and then it ended up being very long, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is actually a whole new series, and it takes place in the same world as my other book. So I literally just thought it was a continuation of that series until it was 600 pages long, and I'm like, no young adult's going to read this book. So
Harry Potter movie you wrote, huh?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I need this to come out in installments. So when I met with my publisher about it, they kind of had a set protocol for how they deal with series, and they wanted the books to come out every 6 months. But at the time, I knew I was also working with Brett's nephew, David, to try to bring these to screen, whether through a movie or a TV show. And I really wanted to be able to have my books out there, have them already published, keep writing the series. And I didn't like the idea of every 6 months a new one coming out when 3 of them were already done at that point. And it basically inspired me to start researching, well, how do you start a publishing company? Is this something I could do? Like, I already had editors on staff. I have a team of interns that work for me. I have a design degree, so I know how to lay out books and design covers and do everything. So I said, how do I work with distributors? How do I get into stores? How do I do all this? I had great contacts already from being an author when it came to media and PR. So I realized, I'm like, I have everything I need. And once I researched it and realized it was completely feasible, I was ecstatic to name it after my dogs, Riley and Baxter, because Baxter is a rescue. And now with having control over not only when the books are released, but also, you know, not having the other publisher taking out royalties and stuff, I was able to donate a big portion of all the royalties from the publisher to animal rescues. So I pick a different rescue every month and I send a portion to them. So it's been a great way to kind of combine my passion for writing and literature, but also with the animals. And honestly, I just wanted to make it more accessible for other authors to be able to bring their books to life. I remember how hard it was for me to get a publisher, you know, originally, just all the red tape you had to cut through with getting a literary agent, and there was a lot. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make it a little bit easier for people. And, you know, you hear of these publishing companies out there telling people, yeah, we'll publish your book, but give me $10,000. And it's like, it's, you know, people, a lot of people can't do that. So I was able to do it in a way that's very much more affordable, but also very personal, and then have it be for a good cause.
So, okay, that's really interesting.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to ask, what kinds of topics or books do you publish? I know you're a young adult author, but like what type, you know, I guess that answers the question.
So my books are young adult, and then my books with Brett, they're children's, but we also publish lots of, you know, so like inspirational. So there was just a book that came out in September called My Refuge by Deborah Fordette, and it's about her time as a missionary in Uganda. And then now I'm currently working on a sci-fi novel with someone who is a civil engineer. So really, I mean, it's kind of all over the spectrum. I just want to be able to help, you know, authors of all different genres, you know, share their story with the world.
Very cool.
What do you look for in an author? How do you know if you want to publish someone's book?
It has a lot to do with the message. And since I love to coach and mentor, I look for books that are going to inspire other people towards good things. So, I mean, that's really, I think, what's a common thread with all the books, whether it's inspiring them to think more deeply, like this science fiction one, or, you know, to pursue your dreams despite, you know, any fears or anxieties you might have about going to Uganda as a single woman, you know, in the middle of a summer with Ebola breaking out and everything. Just stories that will educate, inspire, and just maybe, I don't know, plant some seeds, you know, in people's hearts in ways that they can grow and stuff. So that's kind of what I look for when I read different manuscripts that get submitted. And another thing would be that just their originality and their creativity and, of course, their writing skills. But usually when they get submitted, you know, these are people that have already written books in the past or, you know, at least have some background in it. Not many people sit down and just say, oh, I've never done this. I'm going to write, you know, a 200-page book. So, you know, a lot of the submittals come from good writers anyway, but we have a team of editors who can help with that, you know, and coach people through that as well to bring the books up to the standards that we want to have at Riley and Baxter.
And I guess with your contacts, you can get people on the shelves in Barnes & Noble and placed properly in Amazon. And the third is PR. So put on the shelves, Amazon, and PR.
Yeah, and honestly, it was, I think I just learned so much over the last 10 years from being an author and how that all works, and now I'm just so excited to have a chance to help other people make that happen.
Okay. All right. Good. And
yeah, so if anyone has submissions, please send them on to Stacey.
My website. Yep, it's Briley and Baxter Publications. It's just www.brileybaxterbooks.com, and you can just submit query letters right through the contact form.
And do you do the
Very
PR
awesome.
Yourself, or you outsource that?
I handle some of it, but I have a great team. They work for company PR first, and I've worked with them, honestly, I think I met them in maybe 2009 or so, so we've had a long-term relationship. They're wonderful, so I outsource a lot of things to them.
Okay, all right. And Maddie, you know, I'm thinking, like, Brett, you lived and breathed Villanova, so it was a natural match for you. But Maddie lived and breathed coaching. Like you were born into this world of coaching. So
mm-hmm.
once again, the stars lined up again. Because while I'm listening to you, Stacy, so you're a life coach. So, you know, coaching, you and Brett share some common ground in coaching people up and helping to bring out the best in them. And Maddie, it sounds like you grew up in an environment where that was just sort of a way of life, and you, as I said, lived and breathed that. So what was that like growing up in a coaching environment and seeing your parents that way?
Yeah, I mean, it was really wonderful. As I mentioned, my dad, he coached the Singapore national team, and they won the league in 1994, and he brought that country a championship, which was, obviously, that was where I was born, Singapore. I couldn't remember it, but just having those stories growing up with him, you know, telling me what he told those players and giving me these life skills that Brett was talking about. And then my mom, we moved to New Zealand after Singapore, and I lived there for several years.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was a world-class athlete. She was a goalkeeper, a soccer player for the New Zealand national team, and also a softball player, you know. So she's got these dual sports working. She was just so multi-talented and wise and always imparted these life skills to me from a very young age. And, you know, I can vouch for what Brett is preaching here, you know, saying that instilling these life skills at such a young age, it stays with you. And I'm 23 years old now, and I live by these skills both of my wonderfully talented parents taught me. And then my whole family moved to the United States when I was 6 years old. So my dad's British, my mom's American, and between the two of them, plus my time in New Zealand, I hold 3 passports in New Zealand, the USA, and the UK. Not only these coaching skills, but these multiple personalities and skills and just life experiences from all over the world. And coaching is something that is universal. It's so worldly. Like, my dad will teach skills to the Malay soccer players the same as he teaches to the Lock Haven University, Pennsylvania soccer team. You know, these life skills, they touch everyone in such a profound way. And it was really wonderful to be a part of that from a very young age.
Just curious, so how old were you when you left Singapore?
So we lived in Singapore for a year. So I was only 1 year old when we left. And I only recently got to go back to Singapore. It was actually last year, which was such a magical experience for me because my dad was a mini celebrity over there. And, you know, the minute I said my name is Maddie Moore, and they're like, oh, you know, like Douglas Moore. And yeah, that was bizarre. But, you know, it just goes to show you how much these coaches can impact an entire nation. Even, you know, Singapore is a tiny country, but it was shocking how profound that message was.
Interesting. So what has it been like working with Stacy and Brett?
It was like a puzzle piece. I slotted right in, you know, between Stacy and I connected, and we had a really great conversation, and she explained Brett's mission and message. And then that really resonated with me, obviously, with the coaching background. And then Brett and I got talking, and again, it was a really great fit. And not even from a coaching standpoint, just working with other creatives who are so understanding and open and just excited about a project and not excited about, you know, illustrators are sometimes kind of considered cogs in a machine, you know, but this team is really open to ideas and interpretation and just making the best possible product.
Okay.
I think, you know, how you were, like when I spoke to Stacy and then it was like, yes, we're going to, you know, let me check with Brett, let me check with Maddie. I think that's a testament to exactly how well your all of your cog pieces fit together and how you do
absolutely.
Work as a team in one unit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah, because usually when we, you know, book people or we're talking to people, it's like, okay, it's usually just one spokesperson. But it is the three of you, and it is a dynamic team. So it's, you know, it's really nice because that also is another display of what you're trying to achieve. You're a team. You're not,
right.
you know, just
right.
an outside individual floating into the universe by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said.
Hey, Brett, I'd like to ask you a question, and I think it may relate to life skills, but I'm curious. So you began your career in the NBA with the Rockets, correct?
Yes.
And then you went to Magic, the Orlando Magic, and then you went back to the Rockets. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, this happens even in corporations. People work for IBM, they go work for HP or somewhere else, and then go back to IBM. So I would think that's a testament of, and I wonder, maybe you can tell us a little bit about it, but you leave one organization, you go work for a direct competitor, and then you go back. So I would assume that you must have left in great standing. I mean, what was that conversation like saying I'm leaving the Rockets and going to Orlando?
Yeah, that's a great question. I started in coaching in college, and my dream was always to get to the NBA. The Rockets gave me my first chance to get to the NBA, and after 4 years, you know, I was presented with an opportunity to go to the Orlando Magic with a coach by the name of Jock Vaughn, who's a great player at Kansas, played in the NBA for years, and he presented me with an opportunity to help him go and build something with Orlando, and I just felt in my spirit that it was the right thing to do. And as you mentioned, you know, I was able to leave with friendships intact. And
right.
And you know, the interesting thing is that we 2.5 years later, we got fired in the middle of the season with the Magic. And literally that night, the Rockets called me and said, "Hey, man, we'd love for you to come back." You know,
wow.
You know,
wow.
So yeah, it was. You know, and it's something. I think, as you said, for everybody to real. You know, a lot of times, you know, I was given a great quote in one of my first years in coaching when I was at Hofstra University on Long Island, and a guy said to me, "Brett, don't spend time trying to find your next job. Let your next job find you." And I think a lot of times people do kind of get caught up in, you know, they get to one place and they've already got one foot out the door. They've got one foot out the door, and you know, their attitude is not all in. You know, they're already looking. Oh, I can go here. I can get more money over here. And so then when they leave, you know, they leave a lot of times in not the best standing. Meaning, you know, people
right.
know. People know if you're committed, and people know if you're invested. And I think for me, I've always just taken that attitude. Like, I've never had an agent. I've coached 26 years, never had an agent, because I just feel like I'm just going to do the best job I can where I'm at, and whatever comes from that will happen. So yeah, I was fortunate that, you know, I lost my job with the Magic, and that night they literally called me. And the crazy thing is, my wife was she was 7 months pregnant at the time. She was from Houston, so I said to her, "Hey, I said, do you want to I said, you want to go back? And, you know, most times when you get fired, you have some time to, you know, relax and you know, go on vacation. And she's like, let's go back. And, you know, she was able to have the baby around her family doctor. So it worked. It was one of those scenarios where getting fired wound up being I don't want to say a blessing, but it worked out.
So, well, when you told the Rockets you were leaving, I mean, of course you said, I'm going to Magic. I mean, how, were they upset? Did they say they were supportive? I mean, how did that work out?
Yeah, they, it was an opportunity for an increased role. And so they understood the opportunity that I had in front of me. They had wanted me to stay, but they also understood, you know, that they had an opportunity that was going to be hard to turn down. And again, I think it goes back to, you know, having an honest relationship with whoever you're working with, you know. So it's, you know, you're not doing something behind their back. You're not lying to, you know, like, hey man, I want to be great at what I do. This opportunity is going to allow me to grow and sharpen my craft even more. You know, so I think if you have genuine relationships and friendships with the people that you work with, and opportunities like this come up, you know, just like if it was in the reverse, if I was in the leadership position and somebody came to me and said, hey, Brett, I had this opportunity to go somewhere else and advance my, you know, I think if you truly care about people, you want what's best for other people. So, I had that kind of relationship with the Rockets where they were obviously disappointed, but they were supportive, with my opportunity to continue to grow in the profession.
Right.
Really good.
You know, Brett, that's funny. Sorry. It reminds me of both myself and my assistant. So my assistant I had since high school. So a year or two ago, she, you know, kind of had graduated. She, you know, needed to kind of move on. And had come to me and was like, listen, you know, I have an opportunity to work for a commercial architecture firm. So, you know, great, you know, full speed ahead. And, you know, thanks for letting me know. And we stayed in touch and, you know, if I needed help, whatever. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And now she's back with me. So
wow.
It's a testament to, you know, when you are honest and when you do a good job and you put your all into everything, you know, it always comes back, you know, and it's a great thing. And myself, too, I had left Rikers, you know, two times, I think. You know, once was to go run the crime victims program at the DA. And, you know, when I left and wanted to come back, they were like, sure, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? You know, what position, full-time, part-time? So, you know, it's just being yourself and trusting that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and you know, I think for me, I jumped into the fatherhood world kind of later, and there's obviously some negatives with that, but you know, meaning I'm my back hurts after I'm playing with them for 4 hours outside. But that's it. But the positives are, the positives are you learn. You know, again, yeah, like I'm learning. I'm learning things through them that it's going to impact that my nonprofit. It's going to impact these books that we do. And what I mean by that is, with your if you really care about your children, you just want what makes them happy. You know, meaning I like, okay, I'm a coach in the NBA, but I'm not forcing my kids to play basketball. If they like basketball, then we'll do basketball. If they want to play soccer, we'll play. If they want to draw and do art, we'll do art. And I think it's the same thing we're talking about. With if you're in a leadership position, and you have people under that are working, you know, for you, if you truly care about them, all that you really want is what they want. Like you want to help them achieve their dreams. And if that means that they came and spent some time and impacted your business for a good, and now they want to go somewhere else, if you truly care about them, then you let them go.
Right.
And you say, go ahead, like go chase your dreams.
Right.
I hope that this place impacted you. I hope our business impacted you and you learned something here and you got better. But I think, you know, if you truly care about people, that you just want what's best for them. And if that means they got to go,
exactly.
They got to go.
Yep.
Well, actually, there are some corporations that encourage some people to go work in a very different industry, and then whatever skills and knowledge they develop, they want them to come back and bring it back to the company. So
yeah,
that happens.
And that's
also.
Where.
So
that's where you've got to be secure. You've got to be secure. You know, you've got to be secure in yourself as a leader and as a company to say, you know what, we may lose this person in the short term, but in the long term, it's going to be great for them and for us. You know what I mean? When you say like, okay, yeah, go somewhere, sharpen your skills. And when you do that, you're welcome. We'd love to have you back. That takes a lot of security as a leader and as a company to have the confidence that you'll be okay. Even when you take into the account of, you know, what's best for your employees, you know?
Right. It takes a big person to do that.
And
it sounds like that's one of the skills, sort of be it not being selfish, right? So,
yeah. Yep.
Looking at more than just yourself and what you need. So, really good. Stacy, I wanted to ask you, and Brett, I heard you say you've never had an agent, and I was listening to when Stacy was talking about literary agents. So do you work with literary agents, and maybe you can tell our listeners how you've simplified things, whether they're working with a literary agent or not. So.
Yeah, honestly, so when I was trying to get my first book published, I sent out, oh my gosh, probably 70 or 80 query letters, just explaining the mission of my books and why I felt they needed to be published and giving an overview. And it was like letter after letter after letter came back saying, we're sorry, we're not accepting, you know, any unpublished authors. It just seemed like impossible to break into this industry. And now this was kind of before the time of self-publishing and things like that. And then finally, I remember being so ecstatic when I got a letter back saying, yeah, like, let's read your manuscript. Let's take a look at this. Let's see, you know, what we can do. And I know I'm like a very resilient person. And when I believe in something, I just keep trying and trying and trying. And I think, you know, if I wasn't that way after I had maybe gotten the 50th letter back saying, you know, sorry, we're not accepting new authors, I might have given up. But since I have that sort of resilient personality, I was so thankful that I kept trying, and I eventually did get an agent, and they did, you know, find my publisher and everything. It worked out great. But I just want to make it easier than that for people. So, yes, I can work with agents, but no one who I've worked with yet, you know, to publish their book has had one. I mean, I will accept unsolicited manuscripts. I want to give people who have never written a book before a chance to actually get it out there. So that is one way I have, I guess, simplified the process with Briley and Baxter Publications, because we don't need to work through all that, you know, bureaucracy and stuff to get it out there.
All right. Really good. Wow. So, and I heard you say, what was your major in college, like design? What was your major?
Yeah, so I originally went off to school as an architectural engineering major, and after a year and a half of that, I realized that I actually wanted to do floor plans, and that was more interior design, which at the time, I remember, you know, I grew up always for fun, just like my parents bought me software so I could design floor plans and stuff. Like, I would do that for fun as, like, a 10-year-old. So I grew up wanting to always design houses,
wow.
And my dad built houses. So, you know, it just seemed like a great fit, and I really enjoyed it. And then when I went off to college and I was doing architectural engineering, I ended up getting a little bored because I was like, well, I don't care so much about the outside of the building and how it looks with the skyline. I want to get that interior design. And I didn't realize that interior design is actually like interior architecture and that it wasn't decorating until I met with my advisor in my sophomore year. And I was like, when am I going to get to design like a building and a floor plans and do all that? And they told me, you're in the wrong major. That's interior design. So I applied to be accepted into that program and thankfully got in. And that is, you know, what I graduated with a degree from. And I worked in that industry for about 2.5-3 years. And I wasn't actually that fulfilled. I enjoyed all the design, but I found myself sitting behind a computer drawing all the time and missing that interaction with people. Like, I really, it helped me realize, like, the mentor heart I have and that I had a desire to work with the youth and I wanted more time to write. And, you know, I just think by sitting in the career that was wrong for me, it caused me to really stop and think and really discover what was right for me. And I just remember day just praying. Like, I literally just prayed one day. I said, God, I know you created me to do something. I know this isn't it, but you've got to show me what it is. I will go on the mission field. I'll go back to school. Like, I'll start a company. I'll do whatever it is you have for me. Just show me. And, you know, it really was just a breaking point of surrender, you know, and looking for guidance. And God has a way of making things so clear when you genuinely seek him. And, you know, one day I was just having a passing conversation with someone, and she mentioned that her friend's mom was a tutor. And it was like when she said the word tutor, it was like a light bulb just went off. And I was like, oh, like, I love working with the youth. I love math. I love English. Like, I love school. Like, I was such a nerd. I, like, absolutely just loved learning so much. I'm like, I would absolutely love to be a tutor. How do you do that? So that's when I started looking into it. And I ended up getting certified as an academic and a test prep tutor and, you know, did everything. And I just started doing it part-time on the side while I was still designing. And it just took off, and I just fell so in love with it that I left the A&D industry altogether and transitioned fully into education. And that was amazing because it helped me work with teens, and then that's who my books were for that I was writing. So I was working with that same age group,
okay.
And it just all fell together so perfectly. Is amazing.
Interesting. So with that eye for art, and I assume the way you can see a floor plan, I assume you have that same kind of eye for a book cover, let's say, in any illustration. So how do you and Maddie, I'm asking you, Maddie, how do the two of you dance in that domain of art and illustration?
Yeah, so not only have we been working on the book, but Stacey and I have been working on some separate commissions together where I'm working with her on some of her book character illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it has been incredibly positive and supportive. We email back and forth, and she, you know, gives me a little bio on the characters, a little bit on their personalities. And I'll send her a sketch, and we discuss, and we create a final product. And all of it is just very supportive, very productive. You know, the criticism is always in a very positive way to push and, you know, again, make a really great final product. And it's honestly, it's really wonderful to work with someone in the design field, because sometimes I'll talk to clients and I'll talk about, you know, do you want this file as PNG, JPEG, PSD? And they look at me like I've got three heads. Sometimes it's really wonderful to kind of have someone with a bit of background, a bit of knowledge, a bit of insight into the process. It just kind of makes for a more seamless, streamlined way to really get the final product out faster.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, and Maddie,
so
tell them about all the Briley and Baxter drawings you've been doing, because we opened a shop this week. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been working together. Her two adorable, adorable Dash Hounds on Instagram. I've been illustrating. We did some mugs and pillows. We did a bunch of illustrations of the dogs with different holidays. So we did different hats for them. And then the store launched. It all looks really great. I got a mug of them in their Thanksgiving scarves, which looks amazing. It's just been, like, super fun and really great to work with.
And those are the – so I'm looking at your website. Those are right at the top of the page. Those are the illustrations to Dachshund at the top.
Oh, if you go to – if you're on the Briley Baxter website, go over to where it says shop. And if you click on that shop, that's the store we just launched this week. And it's, again, to raise money for animal rescues. 50% of all the proceeds go to a different animal rescue every month. But those drawings, those are the ones that Maddie did. And it's all, like, Briley and Baxter for all different holidays. And there's journals and mugs and tumblers and all different products. I figured it'd be a fun way to help raise some more money for a really, really good cause.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have stars in their eyes, huh?
Yes. And again, it was like a puzzle piece, you know, because I have a shelter dog as well. And the fact that all the proceeds are going to shelter dogs is just, again, a great project to be a part of, and it's all supportive, and it's all yields a better product.
Very cool. So we are closing in on the final few minutes. So, Maddie, if anyone wants to, are you available to do any kind of artwork for people who are interested in your work?
Mm-hmm. I am. I'm all commission-based illustration right now. If you just Google my name, my LinkedIn will come up as well as my portfolio. I should be pretty easy to find, I'd like to think. Just type in Maddie Moore and I should come up.
Okay, Maddie Moore, M-A-D-D-Y, is that correct?
M-A-D-D-Y, yep, that's right.
Okay. And that's short for, or should I ask?
It's short for Madison, but I don't usually put that anywhere. Maddie should just come up with my information.
Okay, perfect, perfect. All right, and Stacy, how can people get a hold of you?
You know, my website for the publishing, the BrileyBaxterBooks.com, or my book series, you can do GripsBookSeries.com. Or StacyApadula.com. They would all lead, you know, directly to me. I'm also on Instagram. The dogs is @2_cuddly_dachshund. They probably have more followers than I do. And my Instagram is @author_StacyPadula. There's all sorts of ways to connect. I love to connect with readers and other creatives. So please reach out.
Any instructions on someone who wants to submit a book to you?
Just go to my Briley and Baxter Publications website and go to the Contact Us form and submit a synopsis or a query letter right through there, and then I will get back to you.
Okay, perfect.
Fantastic.
And Brett, if someone wants to send their son to your nonprofit, how do they get a hold of you?
I'm assuming or daughter.
Oh yeah, we're both sons or daughters. I have a 1-year-old daughter that runs our house, so I have no choice other than to let girls a part of this program. So I'm already getting dirty looks, so yeah, definitely girls. I have a website on the right path .net, and there's an area there for you can reach out and contact. My email is bgunning@ontherightpath.net. So all that information would be there on the website. And we're currently developing a curriculum. I did a pilot 12-week course in this COVID era that we're living in. We are developing a 12-week virtual classroom where we meet with the kids once a week for 30 minutes, and we tie in a life skill, a basketball skill, and a Bible verse, and that's turned into a 12-week course. And we did a pilot in the spring summer, and it went fantastic. So we're going to be doing that as well.
Phenomenal.
That's great. That's great. So I want to thank the three of you. It's been wonderful engaging you, and I can see how so many people gravitate to all three of you and how the three of you have come together. So it's been an honor to meet with you and speak to you. So thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you as well.
All right. I look forward to speaking to all of you again, and have a happy Thanksgiving and a great holiday.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening, and take care of
everyone. Good night,
everyone.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.